This is WSBT's Community Update on 96.1 WSBT.
Good morning, I'm John Hoffman. If you've seen radio or seen TV, heard radio, even seen your social media feeds lately, you're probably aware there's a primary election coming up. It's May 8th in Indiana. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the major races and some of the election trends this year with Sean Savage, a political science professor at St. Mary's College and a regular contributor to things here at WSBT. Sean, good morning. Thanks for being with us. Let's start.
Good morning.
If we can, with just some of the major political landscape. I'm seeing lots and lots of advertising on TV and radio right now. I'm not seeing as much in my social media feeds, but I wonder if that's true for everybody. Are they working social media as hard as they are traditional media, do you think?
Well, I think it depends on who the particular candidate is. On the Republican side, in the Republican Senate primary, it seems that Mike Braun is working the social media a little more than the others, but not as much as I think as we would expect. I mean, certainly 2 years ago in 2016, there's a lot of focus both within Indiana and nationally on the Republican presidential primary here in Indiana, and so of course we had a really intense flurry of social media activity then. I think for the most part, there just seems to be less voter interest this time around in the Indiana primary, certainly compared to 2 years ago when we had presidential primaries.
And that would be standard when it's a non-presidential year, right? The presidential election always draws more interest.
Usually. Unless you have a situation where you have certain unique qualities in a primary election. I mean, we had that, of course, in years ago when Dick Lugar, ran for the last time for the Republican Senate nomination, and of course lost. That was somewhat unusual, but polls that were taken later showed that there were a lot of people who didn't necessarily dislike Lugar, for ideological reasons, thinking he was too moderate or something like that. But they simply thought that he was sort of too old and it was time for him to retire and he should leave gracefully.
And of course, we remember that Richard Murdoch won that race, the state treasurer at the time, and then lost to Joe Donnelly after a very eventful campaign, which included probably what he would concede now were some statements he probably should not have made publicly regarding the abortion issue.
Yes, exactly. And of course, that's another thing that attracted a lot of attention then to the fall election was that particular statement during his debate with Donnelly about the abortion issue. And of course, that then led to a somewhat unusual degree of split ticket voting here in Indiana in a presidential election year. So that, 2012, we see Mitt Romney, as expected, easily carrying Indiana over Barack Obama, but then enough split-ticket voting from Republicans and independents that Joe Donnelly, as a Democrat, was able to win that Senate race.
And for this year, with Donnelly up for re-election, he is, I assume, hoping to perform some similar magic outside of a presidential year. Again, this state went very heavily for Donald Trump. I think it was about 20 points. And Donnelly is running in a non-presidential year. He'll run against one of three Republicans, all of whom are trying their best to tie themselves closely to the president.
Yes, exactly. It seems somewhat unusual that really at this time, perhaps any Republican candidate would want to tie himself too closely to Donald Trump because Donald Trump's public approval ratings have declined nationally, even here in Indiana. I mean, certainly here in Indiana, he's more popular than he is, let's say, in blue states like California or Massachusetts. But still, Trump doesn't seem to have the same level of support here that he did 2 years ago. And yet, let's just sort of obviously wait and see if the apparent decline in Trump's popularity in Indiana would be enough to help Donnelly win in November.
And I guess I should also have mentioned that we are talking about the primary campaign. These guys are trying to appeal to Republican primary voters, definitely a more conservative lot than the crowd they'll be trying to appeal to in the general election.
Yes, certainly. We have one Republican candidate in particular, Todd Rokita, really emphasizes in his speeches, in his interviews with the media, in his TV ads, that he's basically more pro-Trump than anybody else. But of course, as far as we know, you know, he didn't actually endorse Trump 2 years ago in the Republican presidential primary. And of course, you know, Trump has made some statements and done some policy positions which, you know, some Republicans, you know, disagree with. You know, for example, Trump's engaging in increased tariffs, things that Indiana farmers, who tend to be mostly Republican, may not like if that hurts, trade with China.
Absolutely. As the primary campaign continues, it seems to me that some of the TV ads that are running for Mike Braun, for Luke Messer, for Todd Rokita, some of those you could almost switch the names around. And it sounds like essentially the same ad with the names changed, accusing the others of perhaps being less supportive of President Trump and soft on issues like immigration and others. And yet they're all trying to be the same guy, it seems, at least in some of the TV ads.
Yeah, I think that's especially true for Rokita and Messer. It seems that Mike Braun is trying to distinguish himself by saying, well, he's the true conservative because, you know, he's not a career professional politician who, you know, like the rest of them, supposedly keeps voting to increase, you know, government deficit spending more and more and more. That, you know, supposedly we need somebody like Mike Braun from the outside to come in to the Senate. So Braun's trying to make himself seem a little different from Rokita and Messer in that respect.
Of course, Messer and Rokita are both veteran office holders. They've been congressmen for some time. Both are giving up seats in Congress to run for this. At least one of them is going to be out of office after this year. Does it surprise you that two Republican congressmen would take on each other in this way, in this race?
I don't think it's really that unusual because even among so-called career politicians, let's say who've been in the House for a while, sometimes there's this decision that, you know, it's either up or out. You know, for one reason or another, I really don't want to, you know, continue to run for re-election every 2 years. I either want to, you know, run for governor or run for the U.S. Senate. And then, you know, sort of hope for the best. You know, we had Mike Pence serving as congressman for several terms, and then of course deciding to run for governor.
As this race goes forward, do you have a sense of anybody having more money, more resources, more ability to get their word out there in the Republican Senate primary?
It seems as if of the three of them, and especially if you then compare Rokita and Messer, Todd Rokita, tends to perhaps come across as the more outspoken, somewhat more divisive of the two congressmen who are running in the Republican primary. But Luke Messer seems to be sort of more of the so-called sort of establishment favorite. And, you know, the interesting thing about what's happened in Republican primaries across the country, if one candidate appears to be more of sort of the establishment favorite, it seems as if it's somewhat unpredictable whether it will be an asset or a liability, to his campaign. I mean, you know, we saw this, for example, in the Republican Senate primary in Alabama, where, you know, the incumbent Republican Senator Luther Strange had basically been appointed by the governor to continue to fill that seat until the special primary and then election was held. And even though he was the establishment favorite, so to speak, and received a rather tepid endorsement from Donald Trump, you know, he lost the primary nonetheless.
Do you see a favorite in the Republican Senate primary in Indiana at this point? Does anybody have a particular edge, or do you think it's a tight race?
I think it's a tight race between Rokita and Messer. It'd be interesting to see. You know, again, Rokita comes across as being at least slightly more aggressive and outspoken in his conservatism and his support for Trump. It'd be interesting to see if that kind of approach by Rokita is enough to sort of drive up the base of the most pro-Trump conservative voters, so that will enable him to win the primary, or if Messer's slightly more cautious, you know, establishment status will then be enough to make him appear to be sort of the safer choice and therefore win the primary. I think it's kind of a toss-up at this point between Rokita and Messer.
Okay, and Braun is spending a lot of money, including a fair bit of his own money. You seem to think that while nothing is certain, he's probably trailing the other two.
I think so. It seems that way. Again, with a candidate like Braun, it'd be just interesting to see if he does, you know, as the old saying goes, you know, quote unquote, better than expected, not well enough to actually win the primary. But I think that if someone like Braun perhaps could win, 20% or more of the votes, that might again do some damage to whoever actually wins the Republican nomination, and then it could have the effect of helping Joe Donnelly win the general election in November, because if Braun were to receive, let's say, 20% or more of the votes in the primary, it might indicate a certain amount of dissatisfaction among those primary voters with the Republican Party right now, and who knows, it might then contribute to perhaps a Libertarian nominee for the Senate doing better than expected in November. Again, mm-hmm. something else that would probably have the effect of helping Donnelly. Because as we may recall, you know, Donnelly just narrowly won re-election to the House in 2010 because of the votes for Mark Vogel, the Libertarian nominee for the U.S. House of the South Bend District.
In some sense, Donnelly seems to have led a bit of a charmed life that way. He got that break. He got a break from Richard Murdoch, from Murdoch's missteps in that campaign, mm-hmm. and that got him through, and he's counting on doing it again.
Well, yeah, it goes back. I'm not saying that Joe Donnelly is not smart, but it goes back to an old saying that's attributed to Napoleon. Napoleon used to say, I'd rather have a general who's lucky than smart. even before that, you go all the way back to 2006 in his second campaign for the U.S. House. Fortunately for Donnelly, the South Bend district was chosen by the Democrats as one of the so-called red to blue districts. You know, in their whole plan to win control of the House in 2006, they targeted the South Bend district and, again, poured a lot of money in advertising this district to defeat Krista Kohler and elect Joe Donnelly to the House.
With just a minute or two left, I'd like to talk for a second about the 2nd District House race where there is a Democratic primary. There are actually 6 names on the ballot, but it seems really 3 of them are campaigning hard. They are Pat Hackett, Mel Hall, and Joshi Yatish, all 3 of which participated in a debate this week in Elkhart. Do you see a clear favorite in that race? What's your reading of that at this point?
Of the top 3 candidates, it seems that Mel Hall's probably the favorite. He seems to have the most name recognition, which has been bolstered by his TV ads. Of the 3 candidates, he seems to be relatively more moderate. Even though the top 3 candidates are probably more liberal than, let's say, previous Democratic nominees for the House of this district, like Joe Donnelly or Brendan Mullen. But especially on the health care issue, Hall has kind of backed away from, you know, supporting the so-called Medicare for All single-payer proposal that, Hackett and Joshi support, and it's often associated with the so-called Bernie Sanders progressive wing of mm-hmm. the Democratic Party.
Yeah. With that... Do you see Hall, if he wins through the primary, as a serious challenger to Jackie Walorski, the incumbent Republican, in the fall?
I think he's more likely to become a serious challenger to her, and may even possibly defeat her in an upset if, and this is a very big if the Democrats at the national level become more confident as we, let's say, get into the summer and the early fall, of their ability to win control of the House. If that happens at the national level, then they're more likely to, as they did in 2006 with Donnelly, devote more money and more consulting advice and so forth into Hall's race, and therefore, again, increases chances of actually winning in November.
Sean Savage, political science professor at St. Mary's College. Thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
The views expressed on WSBT's Community Update are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, WSBT Radio, its staff, or management. Join us again next week on Community Update on The Sports Leader. 96.1 WSBT.